another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And today we have Wrestling World. What year is this from?
So this is from 1984.
Yeah, December 84.
This is an old random-ass book that I believe you got in a lot.
Yeah, it's been sitting around for a while. Just we haven't gotten around to it until now.
I think we definitely have done Wrestling World before.
Yeah, we usually do them from the 90s, like the early and mid-90s, where Stately Wayne Manor is involved.
Oh, that's right, yeah. This is his deal, but this is pre-Wayne.
Yeah, I guess so, because I didn't see his name mentioned unless he was using a different moniker in the early 80s, but...
Oh, no.
This is it's more... I don't know how to describe this magazine. It's definitely different than what we're used to covering in the 90s. It's the number one wrestling magazine, according to them.
Horseshit. How did they the number one what number one wrestling magazine at some random ass bodega in the Queens?
Yeah, I don't know either. There's not much to say about it other than it's got a basic cover. It's got Kerry Von Erich with Ric Flair in a sleeper hold, dead center, with a bunch of words around it, and like it.
And so for some reason, Kerry is looking right at us.
Yeah, he's looking right at the camera.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah,
because I'm looking it's tilted towards me right now, and he's just staring at me while Flair's grimacing, and he's got him mm-hmm. all wrapped up. So
you can see Ric Flair's fillings.
You sure can.
Yeah,
you can see that. There's a lot of light in that photo.
Yeah.
But then again, wrestling is awesome. Or wrestling magazines are awesome. Wrestling is awesome too. But wrestling magazines can be quite great sometimes, and sometimes you get some really good photos. So this is a pretty good one. Just straight up Flair and Kerry Von Erich. Which I feel like anytime I see a picture of Kerry Von Erich, Ric Flair is in it.
Yeah, I think that's the only time they ever took photos of him was when he's wrestling Ric Flair.
90% of Kerry Von Erich photos have Ric. He's either beating up Ric Flair. Or Ric Flair is just there.
Yeah.
He's never wrestled anybody else except Ric Flair.
If you're reading the magazines, that is the case. Because so his brother was dead by then, I want to say, when this magazine came out.
Well, this is actually right after he won the title and lost the title.
Oh, okay. So yeah, his brother's long dead.
Yeah, his brother died.
Been dead for months.
He got the title reign because... because David was pretty much like in line to get that.
Yeah, I just don't see it, guys. Like,
what, David?
I don't see it at all. Like, you guys watching these people keep saying how David was supposed to be the world champion. I just don't get it.
He's not terrible.
No, he's not. He's not good. Like, I've gone back. I've watched world class shows, and David's just. I mean, he's got the charisma. He's got more charisma than the rest of them. I'll give him that. Body-wise, he's probably got the worst.
Really?
Yeah. Looks-wise, definitely the worst.
What about Mike? You think Mike was Mike was?
I don't even count Mike.
You gotta count Mike. No. It was pretty much like you have.
I'm counting Kerry and Kevin and David. Those are the three I'm counting. Yeah, Mike was. The dripping shits, don't get me wrong. But as far as like the Von Erichs go, Kerry definitely had the look. Kevin had the talent.
Yes, he did.
David
had talent too.
No, David was a marginal wrestler at best. He was good on the mic, I'll give him that. But Kevin was probably the best wrestler.
I think it probably goes Kerry had the best look. Kevin was the best wrestler, and David was probably the best on the mic. From what I understand, he had a really interesting run as a heel in Florida.
Oh,
that's always been talked about. Like, and actually, I think I have some of that on DVD where it's like 84-ish, and he because basically, if you're a Von Erich, you never worked outside of Texas.
Yeah,
but David, got his. Touring in at some point, and he was like a Dory Funk protege of sorts at that time. '84. Well, I'm trying to think of when he passed away, but yeah, before he passed away, he was kind of teetering with that. But he obviously in Texas, he was a big star, and he was in line to become the champ, and they ended up having to go with Kerry, because of David's passing, and Kerry only held the belt for like. less than a month.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks, and then he lost. Then he lose it in Japan.
He lost it in Japan. He won at the big show in Texas, in the Dallas. Lost it in Japan to a backslide. No, he won with a backslide, I think. But he just randomly lost it in Japan because they figured at some point he was gonna, go nuts and whatever. Because he was doing. It's the 80s, man. They were doing all sorts of stuff, and this is the Von Erichs we're talking about. So there was stuff. And sure enough, his situation, as unfortunate as it was, took a turn for the worse progressively. And but here he is, though, fresh off the Flair stuff, and we're putting him over in this book, Lone Star Strangler, Kerry Von Erich gunning for the NWA title. And then you have what else? We have everything in this book here.
Yeah, it's a nice hodgepodge of different wrestling throughout the country. Stuff that I wasn't familiar with, and then what else have we got on this? We have WWF Tag Team Terrors, Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch extending their Reign of Doom. I didn't realize they had a Reign of Doom, let alone extended it.
Well, they were pretty, for probably 84 was kind of like their year.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because the Samoans lost to Atlas and Rocky Johnson, and then those guys lost to Adonis and Murdoch, and they were pretty much like the chance. I feel like they were pretty much a chance for the majority of that year, and they went on to lose to the U.S. Express. But that was kind of the deal. They were a rough and tumble tag team.
Mm.
That's a pretty good pairing, because 80s Adrian Adonis, early 80s Adrian Adonis was pretty good. Dick Murdoch is awesome. That's a pretty good team.
Yeah. I guess I was too young to know what was going on, so I don't remember it at all. I remember seeing a videotape here and there as a kid, but this is before my time.
Well, I think that for most of us, people our age at least, when you think of Adrian Adonis, you just think of big, bloated Adonis from WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, pretty much.
Although he was we've talked about Adrian Adonis plenty on the show, but he is he can pump like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 3, he is flying all over the place, and he's pretty big guy, like just fat and stuff, but he can move. So, so that's that. Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, it's time to put up or shut up.
Yeah, what's this referring to?
Well, I think it's just basically just a fluff piece on Paul Orndorff. So we'll get to that. Mr. Unmasking the Dusty Rhodes Imposter. This is something that I'm actually a fan of. This is pertaining to Florida, so I'm big into that. And then we have some pinups of Mad Dog Vachon and Blackjack Mulligan, Wahoo, and then stories on King Kong Bruiser Brody.
Kong Bruiser Brody. They just took both his nicknames and combined them.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Because you know why they didn't call him. He's called King Kong Brody.
Yeah, because the Bruiser was in AWA, so he couldn't be Bruiser Brody in that territory.
Right, so they called him King Kong
Dick
Brody.
Dick the Bruiser, I mean, that's...
So, they just call him King Kong Bruiser Brody here.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a story on the Lariat Kid, Stan Hansen.
He's a kid!
that in itself is actually quite funny. And then, of course, in the dark horse of this book... the dark horse story of this book is Mexican Mauler Tony Hernandez.
Never heard of him until I looked through this book, and now I'm glad I looked through it because he sounds like he was a great time.
I kind of feel like we'll get to him. We'll have to figure out how to check that out. Here we go with our first color photo, Blackjack Mulligan putting the claw on one of the sheep herders.
Yeah, it looks like Butch. Yeah. Which is funny because if you book it, well, I'll just skip right to the end of the magazine. On the last photo before the center or before the color pinups is Luke of the Sheep Herders, and he's got the Tonga John.
So Tonga so Tonga John is, that's the Barbarian.
Yeah, I was gonna say it looks like the Barbarian. He's got him in the wrist lock and he's like counting his fingers is what they're saying in the caption. But Tonga John, that's a pretty cool name. If you weren't known as the Barbarian, Tonga John's a good way to go.
Well shit, that's like Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I like Tonga John better than Sione or whatever his head shrinker name was.
They should have just brought him back as Tonga John. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, fuck yeah, Tonga John. I'm like, yeah, let's Tonga John. Let's do it.
Tonga John. Sounds like it'd be a cool name for like a tiki bar, Tonga John's.
I'd go to Tonga John's.
Yeah.
I'd also if Tonga John's was also a sandwich place, I'd go there too instead of Jimmy John's. Tonga John's?
I disagree because Jimmy John's is delicious.
I gotta get on Jimmy John's because yeah. I know there's one by me. And have you done a video about that yet?
Yes, I reviewed their gargantuan.
Okay, I have to go back and check that out.
Yeah,
because it's one of those things where, real quick aside on subs, I'm a big sub guy.
Yeah,
I like to put over good subs, and Jersey Mike's is pretty good.
No. Jimmy John's is so much better than Jersey Mike's. See, now
I gotta fuck with it. I gotta try at least once. I'm trying to stay away from the bread and the hardcore food, you know, the hardcore sandwiches and stuff like that. But they just opened one up in the South Bay. I gotta see what it's about. So, and you've put it over.
Yeah, good. Jimmy John's. Oh man, yeah, I'll never have Jersey Mike's again. After,
wow.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. That's quite the statement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where can people find out more about that?
You can go to my YouTube channel, YouTube.com Sweatpants Joe Eats. That's Sweatpants Joe Eats on YouTube. I have a gargantuan review from Jimmy John's plus a bunch of other reviews. I upload at least twice a week, sometimes more. So check it out.
Definitely check that out. You know what? Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the rest of this book. We got a lot to get to.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
Okay, we're back with Wrestling World from December of 84.
That's right. Kerry Von Erich's Courageous Title Drive. So we kind of already talked about this from the cover.
Yeah.
Kerry Von Erich was only 24 years old here.
Wow.
So he is young as shit. He always kind of looked old, though.
Yeah, he's got an old man's face.
He does. I've never really looked at him and been like, I mean, you could say maybe like Mike and Dave were definitely looked young. But Kerry always kind of looked like perpetually late 20s, early 30s to me, or mid 30s. Like he always had that. He just kind of looked like that. And yeah, I think he was like 30. So 7 years. See, 7 years, 84, that would be 92, 93. He was like 30, I think he was like 31, 32 when he passed away.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, but hard living.
Yeah.
Hard living. But this basically is a story about about Kerry winning the title and Kerry eventually losing the title. Got ourselves this is an interesting layout part here. And this is
the weirdest layout I've ever seen.
So we have like a few, because there's usually when you look at like Pro Wrestling Illustrated, like, or like the after mags, like they have like, you know, like they kind of do this where they put like they put it towards the back. This is when they split the issue, you know, and they split the story and they put it towards the back and there's ads and shit. Here, it's like you have these, you know, you have a bunch of the text, but it's very small. It's the minimal up at the top, but you have like this big two-page black and white photo of him drop kicking Kerry drop kicking Michael Hayes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird layout. I mean, it's a great photo. But
yeah, almost like you don't really need any text.
Yeah, I'm surprised that wouldn't be just like a centerfold, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we get, you know, just talking about Kerry here and talking about him winning the title, losing the title. I don't really have much else to say about this.
No, neither do I. I don't really care. I mean, I've seen the tape. I've seen the match. Yeah, he won. It was a big deal, I guess. But like he, by the time you read this, he probably already won, lost, and was an afterthought. So
no, that's what happened. He won the title, and then for 18 days, he was a talk of the wrestling world. And then, yeah, it talks about him losing the title. So, I mean, that's it. Yeah, from the May 6th to May 24th.
Go get him, Kerry.
moving on, the North-South Connection, the scourge of the WWF tag team scene. That is Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch. And, yeah, here they are putting the boots to people. We got some cool photos. I like this. Go ahead.
Yeah, you have, this is an older photo of Adrian Adonis because you see on the apron there, that's Jesse Ventura. So that's when they were a tag team.
Oh, that's clearly from a couple of years before.
Yeah.
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 He's got a good look on his face there. That's a look at his boots here. What's up with those boots?
I don't know. They look like they like Argyle socks turned into boots. And then he's got his striped socks underneath the boots.
That's an interesting look. I kind of want to recreate that.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with those boots.
I kind of want that to be an option in WWE 2K19.
I wish I knew what the. It almost looks like bowling shoes, only like a larger pattern. I don't know how to describe it. It's really weird.
Bowling boots.
Bowling boots, yeah.
Yeah. They definitely look vinyl.
Yeah.
Or leather
sure
or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. I wouldn't. That would be an interesting piece of wrestling paraphernalia.
If Adrian Adonis's widow is listening to this by any chance, and you still have those boots, please take a photo and put them on Instagram or something.
Yes, yes. If you are a fan of this podcast.
Yeah.
Or if Adrian Adonis. Did Adrian Adonis have any kids?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't even know if he was married. I'm assuming he was, but I don't know for sure. He's been dead for like 30 years, so.
And I like us being like, hey, can we get his boots?
Yeah, hey. We're both from Buffalo. He went to Kenmore East.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's right, he did.
Yeah.
Huh. But yeah, so they basically came back, yeah, end of 83, came back. They started to, because they were, you know, wrestling in Japan a bunch. They were doing some tagging together. So this is the North-South Connection.
Yeah.
There was a, him and
Jesse were the East-West Connection.
That's right.
Yeah.
But North-South, they, you know, and I think Adonis was already in the WWF, and Murdoch showed up to start teaming, and he put them together, and yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think he and Jesse teamed up in the WWF.
No, Jesse's career in the WWF always felt, like as a wrestler, was always, to me, very short.
Yeah, well, he had his blood clot or whatever kind of early on, and then that was it.
Like, I never remember him as a wrestler.
No, it's weird because he has an action figure as a wrestler, but I don't remember him wrestling. So,
well, he, you know, what's weird is he went away and then he had like a few matches where he actually did wrestle. Like, there's a match, I think it's, I don't know if this is officially his last match, probably not, but the one on Saturday Night Main Event where it's like him and Piper and Orton, I think it is, and they're teaming against the Hillbillies. But I think it was definitely after he was out of active duty. I don't know, but you know, hey, speaking of Jesse Ventura, you took a picture on your Instagram recently of Steve Strong.
Yeah.
Of a picture of Steve Strong at some, what was it?
So there's a little burger place. So my buddy and I, we were walking down the street. We were looking for something to eat. First we went to Panda Express and it was too full. So we were like, let's go to In-N-Out. Walked in and out, the line was out the door, and we noticed there was this little burger place in the same shopping center as the In-N-Out. So we went there, and then lo and behold, they had headshots on the wall, and one of them was a promo photo of Steve Strong, and it was autographed, California State Wrestling Champion Steve Strong. It was awesome.
He is he's from the California Championship Wrestling that we've talked about on the show, not the Minotaur.
No, not that Steve Strong.
Not that Steve Strong.
The better Steve Strong.
He is the better Steve Strong by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I pointed this out in my text to you. I didn't point this out in my text to you, but Steve Strong, speaking of Jesse Ventura, used to team with Jesse in Hawaii, and he went on to do art for Jesse Ventura that was commissioned specifically for the governor's mansion.
Oh, okay.
So there's like many, he has drawn Jesse Ventura portraits in his day. That is California's Steve Strong.
And they're hanging in the Minnesota governor mansion.
Hanging and banging. Yeah. But yeah, so Jesse, yeah, so they got Adrian and these Dick Murdoch, you know, pretty big article here. Mm-hmm. But a lot of excuses to be like, hey, we got a lot of cool pictures of this, of these guys wrestling.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so yeah, I do like this weird ass tag team that they competed against. Says here, SD Jones and Mil Máscaras.
What?
Yes, because Mil Máscaras would occasionally show up in the WWF.
But why would he team with SD Jones? That doesn't make any sense. Give Mil Máscaras a character, like a partner worthy of him, like SD Jones.
Mil Máscaras kind of sucks, though. I mean, do you honestly believe Mil Máscaras was good? Have you watched Clash of the Champions 10 against him and Cactus Jack? Okay,
but we're talking about, like, you know, later on Mil Máscaras. This is like prime Mil Máscaras. He shouldn't be teaming with SD Jones. He should be looking for vampires with El Santo. That's what he should be doing. The Blue Demon.
I'd be into that. I'd be into Mil Máscaras, Vampire Hunter, in the WWF. He just fucking looks like Blade.
Yeah,
like
I'm pretty sure they. Blade. I'm pretty sure they tried to make some Mil Máscaras movies like they did with when Blue Demon and El Santo. I'm pretty sure there was a Mil Máscaras one or two.
He's in the Hall of Fame, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's too bad. I feel like he was in the Hall of Fame just before they started putting all the DLCs in for, like, guys in the Hall of Fame in the game. So it's kind of disappointing that we were robbed of a Mil Máscaras DLC.
It's also disappointing that now that I think about it, the WWE films, they have Sin Cara. Let's start making some Sin Cara versus Frankenstein movies.
They have like a whole shit ton of luchadors, man. They've got Kalisto. They've got Lince Dorado. They've got Grand Metalik.
Exactly. Have one of them in a movie where he's going to fight Frankenstein.
Or something. Just a monster. Just anything.
Werewolves. Whatever.
Fucking put another wrestler in a bunch of hair. Fucking put dress. I mean, or whatever. Just get. I don't know why. That's another thing, too. Why are none of those movies actually on the network? You think they would be. I know there's probably reasons.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting. It's a lot of those have. I think it's got to do with Lionsgate, because a lot of them are
the partnerships. There's no way the WWE Studios is funding a movie by itself.
No, Lionsgate distributes the movies. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I got to imagine it's got something to do with that. Now, if Lionsgate ever had a streaming service, I bet you those movies would be on that.
Oh, shit. That would be worth my $20.
Lionsgate, Lionsgate has a lot of great movies, and it's got a lot of shit movies that you don't know about, but you want to watch them because they're awesome. That's how bad they are.
Lionsgate does a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Lionsgate, when you don't think about it, but basically, like, Lionsgate has had its hand in a lot of movies, a lot of random stuff that, you know, you didn't realize was a part of it. So
yeah, but I'll tell you what I don't want to watch anymore is Saw. Any of those Saw movies, I'm done with them.
I've never been a fan of those.
No, I liked the first one because the first one was good. It was something different. But then after that, I'm good.
So Dreams of Darkness, Kevin Sullivan. See, this is my shit right here. This is Kevin Sullivan, Dreams of Darkness. This is when. So he's obviously Kevin Sullivan. Satan dude. At some point, he took Mike Davis, R.I.P. Mike Davis. Mike Davis, who would go on to be in the Rock and Roll RPMs, but this time he just kind of looks like he has no beard, so it looks weird to me.
He looks like a skinny Brian Knobbs.
Yes, there you go. I was trying to think of a way, something to call him, but yes, skinny Brian Knobbs. And basically, he dressed, he called him Dusty Rhodes. He was like the American Dream or the American Nightmare or whatever. Dusty, but basically, you know, he just wore shirts that said Dusty on it. And then you go and look at another picture here, and he's wearing Dusty trunks that have the DR on them. And then he also has eye black and an X on his head, like Kevin Sullivan would always have. And he would just wrestle like Dusty. Like, I've actually seen videos of this. Like, he would come out and just kind of talk like Dusty and whatever. And that was basically it.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, because Kevin, you know, because Kevin Sullivan is like, you know, because this is when Dusty was booking Florida.
Yeah.
You know, so there was all sorts of craziness going on. And Dusty was like, you know, probably like, hey, let's just have me fight me, you know, but it won't be me. It'll just be Mike Davis. Mike Davis had a weird ass career. I do have a version of Mike Davis is in my game as the American Nightmare here. I do like the shirt here of just a white shirt that says Dusty surrounded by stars. I'm a fan of any of this stuff. I'm a big fan.
I'm gonna have to start watching Florida.
Well, they would put it on the network, would be great, but I have a shit ton of Florida like random ass DVDs, which I should probably go back and revisit because yeah. You can't really get those things. Get the, you know, you have to YouTube that stuff. But I'm a huge Florida fan. I've always enjoyed watching these things, and there's just a lot of weird ass shit, especially in the. In the mid 80s.
You have DVDs?
Well, what they would do was in the, oh God, was like 2006, 5, whatever, you know, 2004, 5, whatever. They would put out these DVDs called Turnbuckle Memories. And they were just episodes of Florida Championship Wrestling, bookended by Dusty Rhodes and Mike Graham. This is before, like, either of them. Like before they would associate with WWF. Like,
okay.
Yeah, they were, because eventually Dusty went over to WWF and he was doing creative and stuff. But this is before that. And, you know, it would just be them sitting on a pier being like, holy shit, check out this video. And then it would just be an hour of whatever. And it would just be from different, you know, sometimes it'd be from 83, sometimes it'd be from 86, 87, you know, it would just be around that time period. And they were great. I used to love watching them because I would just be watching, you'd have fucking, you know, just Bugsy McGraw farting around in there, and you got Kevin Sullivan, you got, you know, old Lex Luger, you got all sorts of random ass Florida stuff. They're pretty good. And there's like 12 volumes and stuff. That was like my big thing back in that, like 2003, 2004-ish. Like I was cuckoo for Florida wrestling DVDs.
Yeah. Sounds good.
If I could find it. I just have one that just, it's just a, I bought it from this guy who maybe you do you remember? Oh, I forgot what the guy's name is. It was a black guy.
Jazz?
No. He was a big dude. And he would have like always set, he would at the NW Upstate events, he would always have a table. And then he would show up at all these other Northeast things. And he'd always have a table with all these like random ass collections of like different wrestlers. And I think at one point he had a Florida thing that I bought from him. I also bought my Bruiser Brody DVD of matches from. In the States, as well as a copy of Great America Bash 1989, obviously before the network existed. So, yeah, he was my hookup back then. So this is basically what, you know, this is basically just being an avatar for the darkness. I love this stuff.
Yeah, no, it looks cool. I wish I have seen it. I didn't know this was a thing. So
yeah,
yeah, I like this photo of. Kevin Sullivan and Woman.
No, this isn't Woman.
It's not Woman?
This is Locke.
Oh.
She was the, I forgot who she ended up being. I think she either played or maybe she was Barry Windham's sister.
Oh.
Or one of the Windham's, like, Windham's clan. Like, what? One of the Windham adjacent.
Is it Bray Wyatt's mom?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She married to Mike Rotundo?
Possibly. You know what? Maybe. Or maybe, yeah. She, maybe she was a kayfabe sister.
Yeah.
But... she basically got like possessed by Kevin Sullivan because that's what would happen. You know, you just end up like, did you ever see Bob Roop as Gama Singh?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like, that's what we're talking about here.
Okay.
And that's, oh man, Bob Roop as Gama Singh. Fucking A, man. That's my shit. I don't know why I get like, I'm like, Bob Roop can go fuck off, but you know, Gama Singh is a fucking bomb.
Oh man. Did he use the shoulder breaker too?
He used a shoulder breaker. He sometimes would be doing elbow drops. There's a match with like, I think it's like him and like this random fat black guy that's not Abdul the Butcher wearing a black hood, and they just go in and just pound a bunch of jobbers, and it's like I don't know. It's just random ass shit. Now I'm gonna go back and watch all those Florida DVDs because that's where it is. Like you can't really. Find it like other than like tape collections and probably on YouTube, but who wants to fucking do that if you have it on the tangible device? God damn it.
I agree.
I'm all fired up now.
Yeah.
So moving on, Bruiser Brody. This Bruiser's no loser.
That's a great headline. This Bruiser's no loser.
Why would you call him a loser in the first place?
Well, he's no loser, so you wouldn't call him one.
Well, you wouldn't call him anything.
Yeah.
He's just fucking Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
I do like this main photo we have here of Bruiser holding a chair while Ric Flair dies.
Oh, yeah. Ric Flair's in the corner dead. That's kind of cool.
But it's also the way that it looks is that he's resting on the bottom rope, but he's bloody.
Yeah.
But, like, he's he's kind of mid, like, mid-movement, so his hair is, like, kind of flying.
Yeah.
And he's just in the corner here, but, like, Bruiser's just standing with a chair. Bruiser and Flair matches are pretty good if you can track them down.
Yeah, I could imagine. But, yeah, did he hit Flair with the chair? Why is Flair laying down? I'm assuming he hit him. I don't know. It's great, though. I didn't even realize that Ric Flair was laying down there until you pointed it out. I just saw Brody with the chair, and it looks like he's about to hit a picture of himself with the chair.
Oh, well, yeah, because the picture of himself is like this inset picture of like a, you know, kind of like a him in the hallway, and he's kind of like just yelling or something. And it's like he kind of sees it, and he's like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I do like this little inset we have here for the article. It says, Brody on mental health. About two nights out of the year, usually when the moon is full, I go crazy. I become a maniac and start breaking arms and legs.
Why, that's what he did to Ric Flair. Maybe the moon was full that night.
Oh, man. What if he's not wrestling? Face. Do you think he just loses his shit?
Yeah.
Goes into a fat burger and starts breaking arms and legs.
It's like, oh, man. I see like photos of Brody like this. It's like, how the heck did he let that guy stab him? Like, he's so big.
He was in the shower.
Yeah.
And probably was about to take a shower and probably wasn't paying attention. Maybe. I don't know.
I thought they fought and then he stabbed him. I didn't think he snuck up on him and stabbed him.
Okay, so. Maybe that wasn't the case. I don't know. Because I remember this one. There was this one World Class DVD that came out, but it was kind of concurrent or maybe just before the WWF one.
Yeah, I saw that one, yeah.
And that was the one that the Monday Night Mayhem was thanked on, but they spelled Mayhem wrong.
Oh, okay.
They put Monday Night Mayhem.
Oh, the Mayhem.
The Mayhem. With the big Mish.
The Big Josh?
The Big Josh.
Yeah.
So this video was basically just a bunch of people talking about.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember this very well. But, yeah, I probably still have the DVD. Yeah.
I think I got rid of mine, but there... What I remember most about it was David Manning, who was the referee in World Class, was interviewed at length. And, like, he goes on to talk, a lot about this particular – I don't know if he was there, but he's talking a lot about – he goes in depth to describe Bruiser Brody's shower caddy that he would carry around.
Yeah.
He's like, well, he had a shower caddy, and then he walked in, and he put it down, and then he's – you know. So they go – I remember that in particular. But, man – Steve Austin just talked about Bruiser Brody on this show because he was doing a Q&A and somebody was like, how come they don't do like documentaries on Brody on the network and stuff? And it's kind of like, and his response, as appropriate, I think it was appropriate, he's like, why would they?
You know,
I mean, he never really worked for them. I mean, he did some stuff,
mm-hmm.
but no, he wasn't really a big part of what they were.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't. And who knows if he would have, that wouldn't have happened if he would have been. Although people say that he was in line to have a big run, go there and feud with Hogan. I just don't see it. I think if he went there, he would not be in the Hulk Hogan scene at all. He would just be like a random guy.
He'd be like Missing Link.
Yeah.
He'd be there and then he'd be gone.
Now, if it was later, I could see him feuding with The Undertaker. Like, I could see that, but the timelines just don't match up.
I think
he'd have to be really old to have an Undertaker feud, because Undertaker like wouldn't be feuding with him till like 92 or 93, and I don't know if he'd be wrestling by then. But maybe. Yeah.
Here's the thing: if Brody was still around in 92, he would be in ECW, in the early ECW, basically soaking that up. Like, he'd be making shit tons of money, still being in Japan, and still doing the independent scene.
I could totally see a Brody Undertaker feud, even a Brody Ultimate Warrior feud I could see.
No.
But I can't – well, I mean, I wouldn't say it would be good, but I could see it happening. But I can't see a Hulk Hogan Bruiser Brody feud. I just don't see it. Now – go to Jim Crockett Promotions. I could see him feuding with Sting. I could see that as a thing too.
Yeah, but I could see him having the Cactus Jack of kind of being in that group.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when him and Abdullah would hang out, I could see Brody being in that.
Yeah.
I could see him being in the Chamber of Horrors.
Yeah, totally.
Was it the Chamber of Horrors? I'm blanking on it. Whatever, the fucking cage where fucking Abdullah the Butcher got exploded.
Now, if you're talking like mid-90s WCW, he could be part of the Dungeon of Doom and go after Hogan as a
They would
group.
Bring in old dudes,
yeah. Because that was like a seniors tour already, so I could see him in that.
That would be his last big run.
Yeah, but there wouldn't be, I just don't see a early 90s Hulk Hogan, Bruiser Brody feud. I just don't see it happening.
The rumor has it is he was supposed to be a part of the first WrestleMania.
Okay.
And that at one point, the word on the street was he was going to do a shoot run-in during, like, the main event.
Oh, I have heard this story before.
But I don't think that, obviously, you know, depending on the sources, you know, that could be conflicting or not. But, but Bruiser was the fucking man. I have this book, and I'm blanking on the author, but it's... Because at one point there was these two books that came out about Brody.
Yeah.
One of them was like heavy on the pictures and was really great. And I think I still have it. And there's another one too. There's a few documentaries that came out, like a few books that came out about him. There's never been like a hardcore. I think High Spots is doing or did a documentary about him. But let me say something.
I thought of something that. So WrestleMania 1, I love the idea of a shoot run-in, but not the main event. Brody should have did a run-in on Andre the Giant. That would have been a feud. Andre the Giant, Bruiser Brody.
They've definitely wrestled at some
point. Yeah, but that would have been a cool... Like, so he won the Body Slam Challenge, and you see him, like, going to go hand out the money, and then Brody runs in, sneak attacks him, takes the money, gives it back to Heenan, and Brody's part of the Heenan family. That's what I would have... That would be great. I think I just booked a great angle right there.
I kind of like that pairing.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what... would have if Heenan and Missing Link was any good,
yeah,
that's what him and Brody would have been like, because Brody could talk,
yeah,
you know, Heenan is just Heenan, but I think that would still would have, I don't know, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, see, that's fantasy booking 101 with me.
So
yeah.
a lot of cool photos here of Brody though. I like this. I like these little insets here, though. Brody on human relations. The women beg for my body. And I can't say I blame them. The men are insanely jealous, and I can't say I blame them either. I feel like that's not a very Brody quote.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, his body is just a every man's body, but he's just a big guy. So, yeah.
He was kind of saying he was lean enough, but he was big enough.
Yeah.
I'd kill for a fucking... look like Brody right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, if I was like 6'6", that body would fit me, but I'm 5'8".
He was a gigantic man.
Yeah, he was so big.
And he was...
He might have been like 6'10". Like,
no, I don't think he's that big. He's definitely around 6'6". Definitely like, you know, probably say as big as, I don't know why I'm using him as an example, but Billy Gunn.
Okay.
You know, just a tall dude, just a tall, massive dude. You know, and he probably was in really good ring shape too. So you can... You know, he was awesome. Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, call me Mr. Wonderful. I feel like this is the genesis of him being Mr. Wonderful.
Okay.
Because he came to the WWF, this is him first just getting there, and then everybody started calling him Paula because him and Piper were associated. And to get heat, he was called Paula. And he is not happy. So we got a lot of just randomly posed photos of Paul Orndorff here. You know, and then we get some pictures.
Oh,
you have a thing here? Ernie Santilli.
That's Stately Wayne Manor.
Oh.
So he is in this.
So shoot Wayne Manor.
Yeah, he did write an article in this. Because when you Google Stately Wayne Manor, that name shows up. So
okay.
There he is.
Well, there he is.
Stately Wayne Manor making an appearance in this magazine. He's going by his Ernie Santilli moniker.
He's going to be so happy.
Call me Mr. Wonderful.
That's right.
She posted this really weird photo yesterday on Twitter, Stately Wayne Manor did, of it was like a promo photo of this rock band from the 60s. And it's so weird because you have all the guys standing and they're all wearing black suits. But then the singer is in a white suit and he's crouching, holding a tambourine.
Ooh.
And so that way you could see the drum over his name, because the drum had the name of the band. And the band, never even heard of the band. But it was just such a weird photo. I loved it, though. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's an interesting cat, that Mr. Mr. Manor.
Yeah.
I don't really have much else to say about this article. Paul Orndorff is awesome. You know, we just get a lot of, you know, a few pictures here of Tito.
Like the Tito Santana? Yeah.
Well, Tito, because they're talking about how, you know, he's, you know, because Tito was Intercontinental champ and Hogan was heavyweight champ. I'm surprised that Orndorff never got a run with the IC title.
Mm-hmm.
But he had this weird, stay in the WWF because he had that big run with Hogan. He was a healthy scratch, relatively healthy scratch for WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
Because the word, you know, from what I understood, if you believe Hulk Hogan and if you believe the Andre doc, or at least from what else I've read, that Paul Orndorff was basically the backup, the guy that would have taken over the main event had Andre not been able to go.
Yeah.
Which would have made sense, but I don't know how you would think there would have been. You have to give at least some lead time with that. I mean,
yeah, it couldn't have been like night of. I think like when you realize, okay, we're a week away from the event, Andre's going to wrestle. Let's put Paul Orndorff on the show. He's Paul Orndorff for crying
out loud. That's what I don't understand. Yeah. Like, why? I mean, granted, he may have still been recovering because that's, you know, he was still relatively hurt from the neck injury that, you know, made his arm small. But
maybe you even just have him like in the locker room or something
I just think you should have him do something.
It was just a waste not to have him on the show because he's part of your roster and he was the man. So
yeah, no, it's true. And he didn't show up again until, you know, he basically was Survivor Series 87 he's already a lame ass face.
He could have just been like, oh, I'm here, I'm at WrestleMania, I'm Paul Orndorff, look at me, I'm Mr. Wonderful.
Shit, they did that with Jimmy Snuka. Like, yeah, hey, look, Jimmy Snuka's here, and he comes out, he's like, hey, how's it going?
He just came out, he's like, hey, yeah. He didn't even say anything. He just came out and waved, and then that was it at WrestleMania 5. So yeah, why couldn't they do that with Paul Orndorff?
Shit, you're talking about. I mean, you can't tell me that you couldn't have him do what Jesse Ventura would do, because occasionally they'd be like, "Hey, by the way, Jesse Ventura's here." Jesse Ventura would stand up and pose.
Yeah, that would have been fine. Yeah.
Shame on you, Vince. WrestleMania 3 was such a failure. So the Lariat Kid.
The Lariat Kid.
Well, here's the thing. They don't call him the Lariat Kid here now.
He's on a tear with Stan Hansen, and they got like this Western font.
Well, they call him, they're like Stan the Man or the Bad Man from Borger, which are also legit. I think those are actual names of his.
The Bad Man Makes Good.
Uh-huh.
So I guess he had a face run for a little while.
I don't know what this means, because basically they're talking about him wrestling Ric Flair. Yeah, he was probably just, I don't think he was in.
Who's he wrestling in this photo?
It looks like Mike Rotundo.
He's got his taint out, like full on taint.
That's a taintful picture.
Yeah.
His picture's tainted. Yeah, but we're just getting a bunch of pictures of him beating up on dudes. You know, that's basically it.
It's all Wahoo McDaniel in this one.
No, it's not Wahoo. They reference Wahoo.
Oh, I'm only reading it upside down. Yeah.
You know, so they're just kind of it's just basically putting him over. Like, he didn't really. Yeah, I don't know what he was doing here, you know, at this time. I think because as we see in this one picture here, here he is wrestling the
Hawk of the Road Warriors.
Because there was actually, and that's actually on one of those Florida DVDs, because it took place at a Battle of the Belts.
Oh.
It was it Brody? Or who? God damn, I can't think of who it was. And it was definitely Hansen. It was Hansen and Brody against the Road Warriors. No, Hansen and Harley Race. Harley Race was involved, so I think it was a six man. I don't know. It was crazy. I mean, that's a crazy match, though. And I have to go back. Yeah, see, now I always will go watch those Florida DVDs. I can go back and see what's on those things. So yeah, it was just a thing on here, and they talk a little bit here about his WWF run, which, I mean, that was like, as of this magazine, it was like 5 years prior, you know, and they're talking to Freddie Blassie, because, you know, these magazines are based in the Northeast. So they're like, oh, Freddie Blassie will talk to us. Great. We'll just make up these other quotes. So here's the money piece.
Yeah. Tony Hernandez, the Untamable. I never heard of this guy. This photo of him is great. It's just like a random photo. He's just kind of like, you know, posing with his fists up, like putting up the dukes. And the caption says, perhaps the victim of more attacks by fans than any other wrestler in the sport, Hernandez has been stabbed and shot and still continues to provoke crowds wherever he goes. So he's been stabbed. He's been shot. Because I guess he was
stabbed and shot.
I guess he was a wrestler in Mexico. I guess he's a big star down in Mexico. And I guess people shoot you in Mexico, I guess. I don't know how it goes. I've never wrestled in Mexico, but I guess you get shot down there.
You never wrestled in Mexico?
No.
Okay, I was making sure.
I only wrestled one match in Lockport.
Okay.
Yeah.
But immediately after that, you were thinking about wrestling in Mexico.
thought has occurred, yeah.
Hey, I'm available for bookings in Tijuana, guys.
Speaking of my one match in Lockport, my opponent was just featured in a WWE, like, thing on their website, like from indie to WWE, they have like the series.
I seen that. Yeah,
it was actually really good. They showed like Hellcat and Kevin Dunn was in it.
We're talking about Luke Harper.
Luke Harper, yeah, or just Harper now. I guess he goes.
Yeah, Harper and Rowan. I gotta go back and look at that then.
Yeah, it's actually really good. Yeah, Hellcat's in it.
Are you in it?
No, I'm not in it. Of course not.
I would love if you were. It's like just you, just him. Did you wrestle the suit?
No, I was in a button-down shirt and a trucker hat because I wasn't expecting to go on. I wasn't expecting to appear on camera, so I was just there just to like help out. But yeah, and I kind of got thrown in the ring.
Well, it's a shame that they did not license that footage.
Well, the footage is in my closet right now. Actually, I found box of BCW tapes. I have a camera. It plays 8mm tapes. I just don't think I have a charger for the camera. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame that footage will be trapped forever.
I have no idea if the tapes still play. They were like sitting in my shed for 6 years in 100-degree heat. So I don't know if there's anything left on the tapes, or even if that show is on tape. I have no idea. I have no idea what's on those tapes.
BCW used to be on public access TV.
It sure was. Until I got too lazy to turn in a videotape. But now Ivan has the time slot, and he's had...
Oh, Ivan's still on the air?
It's funny. Ivan has had the time slot the entire time, and his weekly show, he's had like a weekly show on public access TV.
Goddamn.
And right now it's like a WrestleVision show. He's back with the guys.
Was it Scotty Bender?
Yeah, Scotty Bender. Those guys are all back. They're doing shows again.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Scotty Bender.
Yeah.
What was the other guy? Fuck, what's his
Big
name?
Big Joe?
No.
Oh, Handsome Randall?
I remember Handsome Randall. But what was the guy with the mustache?
Superstar Schultz?
No. he was a... Goddamn. He was a guy that used to host like a sort of a WrestleVision show.
Oh.
But he had like a black... He was like a... Fuck. I can't remember his name. But he had this... He was like a D... Because eventually he ended up being a DJ. At like some thing, Big Mosh had beef with him. Big Mosh had beef with everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Tom Galley.
No, not Tom Galley. No, and it's not Tom Galley, surprisingly. Oh, God, I'm blanking on his name, but he had graying hair. He had a dark mustache.
Oh, Joe the Bruiser.
Bruiser.
Tenen Bruiser. Okay. Joe, yeah.
Bruiser something.
Yeah, Joey the Bruiser.
Joey the Bruiser.
Yeah.
Yeah. He DJ'd a wedding I went to once.
Oh, wow. It's so funny because like I used to like pretend to have. I remember when I never met him, but I'd go on the message boards just to talk shit about him. But then like when I met him, nicest guy in the world, Joey.
Was very nice.
He's such a super nice guy. I'm still friends with him to this day on Facebook. Nice, just the one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Just a great guy. The thing about him though was like he was like being like he had like a Bruiser moniker that he would play on camera, and it wasn't like him in real life at all. And you had to separate the two. The guy on the camera was not the guy that you would meet in real life. The guy you meet in real life, just a terrific guy.
It's a gimmick brother.
Joey the Bruiser.
Joey the Bruiser.
But
do you have anything else to say here about Mr. Hernandez?
But going back to Hernandez, Tony Hernandez, I never heard of this guy. It's an interesting article. I read a little bit of it, but like he had like a match in Phoenix and people were going nuts over this guy.
Cause he was basically like, so this is kind of like this is the early 80s, and you know, this is before like the national, just, you know, before things were super crazy. And I always felt like you never really heard much from that area of like the American Southwest.
No, you sure don't, because all the magazines were in the Northeast. So.
Northeast or the mid, you know, they were covering the Midlands. Or, yeah. You know, you didn't really hear stuff about California as much.
No,
either.
Not really. Like, yeah, it was all like the East Coast or Texas. Like, Texas was as far away, and some St. Louis. That's
well, no,
it.
Also, if you
and Minnesota, yeah. Well,
Minnesota, but even also the.
Portland and Calgary, yeah.
You heard about Portland, you heard about Canada, but like the American Southwest was all.
Yeah.
You know, and you can also hear about Mexico, but you never heard about the American Southwest, and this is where this guy is.
Yeah. And that's awesome because, like, yeah, we never heard about Phoenix.
I wish I could find like tapes of stuff like that because they had to have like TV shows and stuff there. I know they did. There's promotions and stuff. I can't think of them right now, but there's definitely.
If you're a wrestling fan from the Southwest, from the 70s and 80s, please chime in and let us know. We need our history on that.
I know. I feel it's a forgotten part. The wrestling magazines didn't do anything.
No, they sure didn't. It's a forgotten territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except well, here, at least for wrestling, except for Wrestling World,
you know. One article in Wrestling World, though. I mean,
that's what I love about these kind of books is that sometimes you would be reading, you know, you read a bunch of stories about all these people you know, and then they'd be like, "Oh yeah, by the way, here's this guy," and you'd be like, "Oh fuck, what's this guy doing?"
Yeah, this guy's amazing.
This guy's amazing. Let's find out more about him. He's been stabbed and shot. So here's what Wrestling World will do. They would do like Eastern Report, Western Report, you know, different regional reports, and basically it's just whatever they can fit in. You know, Eastern Reports just got a picture of a dark mustached Hulk Hogan doing some cleaning jerks. You got yourself a Kamala picture. You got yourself a Wahoo and Mark Youngblood hanging out here.
Yeah, a couple of Indians. A
couple of, you know.
Tag belts, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like a tag belt situation here. You know, nothing really to note here. You get that they're putting over B. Brian Blair, because we all love B. Brian Blair back in the day.
A nice another photo of him with like some kind of arm lock. A lot of arm lock, wrist lock photos in this magazine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, it's the '80s, man. That's how you put your opponent down.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, I mean, you know, Fuji's still wrestling here, so we're.
Oh yeah, that is Mr. Fuji.
Although he apparently just started managing, so because they're talking about him managing Morocco. So yeah, this is your. Also, now that I put this out, this is right around Black Saturday.
Yeah,
because they talk about here the WWF telecast can now be seen on Superstation WTBS, in the same slot once occupied by the NWA. But the change did not go unnoticed by hardcore fans throughout the country. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, it sure was. I mean, I was too young to give a shit, but. But I imagine if I was like, you know, in my adolescent years, I'd be upset.
Yeah.
Or I'd be excited because I was a WWF mark. So I'd be like, oh, yes, more WWF. I want to see SD Jones versus
John Studd.
John Studd. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yo, give me the best of George Steele.
Yeah.
Yeah. Southern Report, again, just kind of randomly talk. I do want to point out this one story here. About Oliver Humperdinck. So, Sir Oliver Humperdinck and Superstar Billy Graham are having their way with things. This is in Florida. Having their way with things up to a point. While they have been quite successful, Superstar was recently fined $2,500 for starting a fight with another wrestler in a parking lot. That's pretty steep for starting a fight. That's not even like if you get like I don't know. I mean, I just feel that excessive.
$2,500?
Yes.
In 1984?
That's like $1 million.
It's a lot of money. It's like probably like $10,000 in today's money. That is a lot of money.
And but according to Humperdinck, he says, anyway, it's of no importance to us. The sum $2,500 is peanuts. I carry that money around to tip cab drivers, head waiters, and other menials.
I wish I was Oliver Humperdinck's cab driver. Jeez.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
You could easily retire by now if you were driving around Alfred Humperdinck.
Jeez, $2,500 to drive as a tip.
Although you probably would have to get out before he started managing being the road manager for the Freebirds. I bet that doesn't pay very well.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he was just independently wealthy. He is a sir. He was knighted.
Yeah. I don't know who he was knighted by, but he was Sir Oliver Humperdinck.
Oh, he was
Somebody knighted him. Knighted by somebody with some kind of knighting abilities.
He was knighted by Lanny Poffo when he wore that knight's armor.
Okay, there you go.
That was when he was knighted.
Yeah.
So that's how that went. Yeah, we're talking about we got a picture of Dory Funk. Dory Funk, it's just a weird, odd looking dude.
Yeah, kind of. He's got his vest, no, like a jacket on, and it just kind of looks weird. Looks out of place.
He's got the weird. He's got. I mean, look, I should be making fun of people's looks, but Dory Funk just looks like a Quato.
Yeah.
from Total Recall. Like his head, he's got that little tuft of hair in the front. He's always looked old and withered. He's still with us too.
Yeah.
He still occasionally shows up at like NXT events too. I don't think he does any wrestling. I think he occasionally will like they'll do a dance contest and he'll like do like a cowboy shuffle and he'll bring a rope to the ring.
Terry still wrestles on occasion.
Terry is still there. Terry was supposed to be at a wrestling event a couple months ago that I went to. He did not make it though. He was handling things. But yeah. Dory Funk, he's on the prowl here. Ooh, old school man, a one man gang picture.
Yeah, I love that look of the one man gang. Yeah, or he was also known as Crusher Blackwell, and he wrestled like he looked like that. So,
I love all these photos here.
Yeah,
you have first of all, that's
also Bill Alfonso, the referee.
You got Fonzie, and he's wrestling Ron Bass in a chain match, which I bet was quite awesome. I'll fucking watch that match.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that, and then underneath it we have Kung Fu Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Kung Fu Billy Graham. And then up top we have a picture of Piper. Or no, I'm sorry, I was gonna say Piper. He does look like Piper, no, but it's not
DiBiase
doing putting a chin lock on somebody. And then beneath it, I'm gonna have to make this guy on my game now. We have the richest man ever, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, with his nice 1984 digital watch. Which I'm certain probably cost $2,500.
At least. I wonder what brand of watch that is.
And he is managing the Saint, who Joe described the Saint to the people.
He looks if a guy could wear a sock as an outfit, that is the Saint, because he's just all white. And he's at the top of his mask has like the sock stitching.
Yes.
And then he's got holes cut out in his eyes and mouth so he can see and breathe.
If Mr. Sacco was sentient, was actually sentient, I should take a picture of this and just tweet at Mick Foley and be like, yo, did you know, was Mr. Sacco an actual man before you took him over? Because fucking A, man. Wrestling photos are great. Again.
Yeah.
And then Midlands Report, just nothing really here. Mr. Tony Atlas is an AWA. Who cares?
Yeah.
Everybody loved Tony Atlas back then. I don't know. I don't think I've seen a good Tony Atlas match.
Yeah. I can't say I have.
Can't say I have either.
Yeah. Here's the Western Report.
But
it's like WWF went to Los Angeles. Here's what happened.
They sure did. They went to Oakland.
Oh, okay.
They went to Oakland, and there was a match that appeared to be, it looks like a battle royal. Or it's obviously an old picture because it's Dark Mustache Hogan.
Yeah.
He is...
And the ropes are all the same color.
Right. And they're describing this picture as Hulk Hogan joins what appears to be a heated round of Johnny on a Pony.
Oh, yeah, that's Andre the Giant, whose butt his face is in.
Yeah, Hogan is grabbing Andre's butt from behind. Like, he's kind of hunched over on his butt. And Andre's doing a shoulder block into what appears to be three people in the corner.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming Hogan is helping him.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming too.
So that I'm assuming is one of those spots, but so that's that.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Ivan Putski here. You know. I don't know why we're talking about Ivan Putski. Ooh, now we got
some Nazis.
We got some Nazis. Kurt and Carl von Steiger, whatever. There's a lot of writing here. There's a lot of information here. So I think too much. I think there's too much information here, guys. You know, Big John Studd, Caribbean Report. Hell yeah.
Yeah, just a bunch of random shots of the Caribbean wrestlers.
Yeah. You got Professor Toru Tanaka is actually wrestling here, too.
Carlos Colon is somebody in a headlock.
Yeah, Carlos Colon, I want to point this out. I was watching WWC Classics on YouTube, and they uploaded, I think it was Anniversario. I was going to say it. Anniversario 85. And he comes out to wrestle Abdul the Butcher because, of course, Carlos Colon does. And he comes out to We Are the World.
Nice.
I mean, it's and I kind of wish they kept on playing it like they would like Natural Born Killers from New Jack and just have him wrestle Abdul the Butcher while that song plays over and over again.
Toru Tanaka is wrestling David Sammartino, but they have it captured as Bruno Sammartino Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very early caption or very early title for him, I think, because he did go by that for a little bit.
Yeah.
So last but not least, we skipped this, but I'm going to go back to this real quick. Gained
5, 10, 15 pounds?
Yes.
Oh.
No, the ratings.
Oh, there's ratings in this
book? There's ratings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's when they just do the top 50 in the wrestling world.
Top 50. I'm not going to read all of them, but...
I love how Hulk Hogan is in quotation marks, Hulk, when they do the World Wrestling Federation champion Hulk Hogan.
But why don't they do it here? Come on.
No, they don't. They just do it there.
What the hell, Mattingly Sports Bureau?
Yes.
But, yeah, basically it's your who's who of 1984 wrestlers. You know,
look at that. Crusher Blackwell, number 25. That is One Man Gang's previous moniker.
No, it's not. Crusher Blackwell is Crusher Blackwell.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
You're thinking, well, they look the same.
Yeah.
But Crusher One Man Gang was One Man Gang.
Oh.
He was Crusher Blumfeld.
Crusher Blumfeld. That's what I'm thinking
Crusher
of.
Blumfeld.
Yeah, Crusher Blumfeld. Yeah. I knew he was a crusher.
He was a crusher.
Yeah. He was a bloom.
He was a blooming onion.
Yeah.
So that's it for basic. I mean, there's really, it's a who's who. I'm not going to go through it. Billy Jack Haynes is number 50. If you
one is Kerry Von Erich.
Kerry Von Erich, yeah. Kerry Von Erich is. Well, here's the thing, though. The champions. Well,
50 is Billy Jack.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's Billy Jack Haynes. Could be another Billy
Jack. No, it is Billy Jack because Billy Jack did go by Billy Jack and then he decided to take on Haynes for whatever reason.
I'm just trying to look through the list here to see if anyone sticks out.
Jim Brunzel, number 40.
You have Brad Armstrong at 32. It's kind of surprising Brad Armstrong would be on this list and that high.
He was hot in Georgia.
Yeah,
he was
hot in
the continental states. He had a thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a good, this is a good top list. Although Tony Atlas is number 9. I don't know why. Because here's the thing. So the champions were ranked the top. They're not ranked in the actual ratings. So you have Flair, Hogan, Martel. But then the actual ratings, you know, you start with Kerry Von Erich, then Bob Backlund.
Yeah, it looks like you have the former champions. Yeah.
Which is interesting, because I'm surprised that he would be still that high up in, what, 84? This is December 84. So he wasn't really doing much at that time. He was around, but he wasn't like around.
Pro Wrestling USA, wasn't that going around right then?
I think that was a year later.
Oh, okay.
But. Yeah, he might have. Yeah, so this is. Yeah.
He must have been doing something in the Caribbean or something.
Oh, everybody's doing something in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with what's his face? Carlos Colon singing We Are the World.
Yeah.
So that's it for this book.
That's it.
Thanks for listening, folks.
You can
find me on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean.
I'm Sweatpants Joe, Twitter and Instagram. Also, please. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. If you're listening to us on Stitcher or Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars. Write us a review. That really helped the podcast out a lot. If you're listening to us on something else, just rate us whatever the highest rating you can on that, because that would help as well.
So who are we going to do? Don't look at that, because there's nothing there.
Yeah, you're right. There is nothing there.
There's nothing there. Nobody has catchphrases.
Nobody has catchphrases. I'm going to make up a catchphrase for the sock wrestler.
Okay, yes.
The spirit.
The saint.
The saint. I'm going to make up a catchphrase for him. Oh, no. I'm going to make up a
catchphrase for Tony Hernandez.
Ow, I got shot.